from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
No joke. 20 minutes before the show, I was called soft by producer Jeff. What a way to start a brand new week. He was actually referring to the video look today, so I apologize for that. But bear with us here on MSG and WGR. It's actually a great start to the week because we have Joe Yerden with us. Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm good, Duffer. It's nice to see you again. It's been a little bit.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, we like to take ownership of situations here. So, like, are we... We're like not willing to meet your hourly rate. Is that why you're not on as much with us as we should have had you on this summer here? What's going on?
I wish that were the case, but my hourly rate is whatever you want to give me. That's
okay.
That's basically what it is.
Well, I tell you what, as you can now tell, Marty is off today. I think it's the perfect, you know, kind of launch for his birthday week. So good for him to take the first day of the week off. Mm-hmm. But it also allows us to really, you know, I, as anybody would working with Marty, we lean on him, right? Like Marty's got an opinion on everything. He is passionate about everything. So I get to shift that and present you with a runway to share some of this off-season of not only Sabres material, but obviously NHL as well, which... more often than not, tends to be quieter than we would like. So you've got some definite stories that still linger from this offseason, because I think some of those names that you wrote about are still very much potentially in play. But let's start with the blue and gold here to kick off the week on Sabres Live. And just, you know, what's changed for you about your opinion of this team and how, if you believe it has been remodeled in a different way that can be more successful, and the questions that may still remain in your mind as we're just about a month out from the start of the Prospects Challenge.
You know, I think the last time we spoke was in Vegas at the draft. So there a lot of these moves had yet to be finalized or even done yet. So this is a good catch up. I think if the Sabres were in a position other than being a team that's been out of the playoffs for 13 seasons, you could step away and look at this offseason and the moves that they've made and say, this is a team that knows the direction they're going in, and they've made some great moves here to get tougher, to get faster, to play a more up-tempo sort of style that Lindy Ruff wants to play and how they want to attack it. Now, you can certainly still say that they've done that, and they have. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't leave a lot of room for error, you know, because if one or two of the moves don't hit the heights, don't hit it, you know, square in the head and say, all right, you know, we put our faith in these guys to help change some of the tempo and some of the mood for how they play. And if it doesn't quite hit, then you're going to be looking back at the off season and going like, oh geez, why didn't they do X, Y, Z? Why didn't they do that? You know, the classic off season for what we've kind of gotten used to here. But I do like what they've done. We talked about how Lindy Ruff wants to play and how he coached the Devils to play, and the Sabres playing that style of hockey for me is really exciting and terrifying if I'm an opponent, because you've got guys like, you've got Thompson, you've got Tuck, you've got Quinn, you've got Paterka, you've got all these guys coming at you in waves. It makes for a miserable night. It really does. And if you're getting knocked around and beat up by these other two lines and getting suffocated with the forecheck, it's a miserable night to play hockey against them, because it's just, it never ends. It never stops. And I think that's a great change to be making with this group, because I think they all want to do that. I think that's the kind of the style. They certainly like playing the speed and the up-tempo and the skill side of it. But, you know, we know Lindy's going to kind of crack down and say like, all right, you guys can't skill your way out of everything. You got to do a little bit more than that. But there's still some things I think that it's lacking. And that's where it's tough for me to just slap the gold star on the whole offseason and say, yep, they took care of business. Let's see what they got.
I'm sensing in a roundabout way, in your opinion, the moves are more of a team that has been in the playoffs for a few years, chasing, you know, the second round or the third round, has been unable to get to the first round because of X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. And you feel like they've added those pieces. Now, the interesting thing, if we're both thinking the same way here, is that they were that close a year ago, then had a drop from all the guys who were having career years. So they may well feel like they should be further along, and that's why they think these pieces, all of them, because there are plenty in the bottom six that have been added, can have the difference. Do you think, though, that the coach or the players, like the bottom six players themselves, will be the most, let's say, impactful as far as how the others change their whatever? I don't want to say style of game, but let's say intensity, whatever it is that's missing. Do you think that the additions, that the players themselves can push the top players, as opposed to it always coming down to the coach having to push the top players?
I think it's going to start with the coach. I think it all starts with what Lindy is going to coach these guys up into, how he wants them to play and what he wants them to do. Because part of the issue that I've got with still having some doubts and some kind of skepticism about things is that, because of how things went last year, and I know a lot of that's because of the lack of success they had on the power play. That's such a huge reason why so much of the offense was down last year. I would say that's the main reason why a lot of the offense was down. Injuries, that had a part of it too. But now there's a doubt about, okay, we've seen Tage Thompson score 40 and put up all these points, and then last year it was not as good. We saw Alex Tuck score, you know, 30 plus goals, and then it wasn't as good last year. You know, all these guys that had these big seasons 2 years ago, and then last season it came back to earth a little bit. You're now wondering, okay, well, you know, which guy are we going to get here? And I believe we're going to get a better version of Tage. I believe we're going to get a better version of Tuck and Cousins. I think all of them are going to rebound. But it's in the back of your mind, because if that offense doesn't return, then you're kind of hoping that everybody else picks up the slack on that, and then it becomes a full team attack, which I think that falls on Lindy to help make that happen as well. But it's it you know, and it's going to fall on Seth Appert's shoulders too for the power play. I mean, that's I mean, to me, you fix the power play, this team's in the playoffs. That flat out, that's the way I look at it. But you have some doubts, and you know, you know they buy out Jeff Skinner, kind of replaced him with Zucker, and you're like, okay, well, maybe that works, but you know, you're kind of saying, you know, if this, then that, you're basically doing, you know, logic proofs to try to get yourself into the playoffs on paper. And that makes me very uncomfortable when you're saying like, well, if this happens, then we're good. If this happens, then that'll be great. Asking, like saying that for about five or six different things means it's, you better have some good secondary and tertiary plans in mind, because if it doesn't work, you got to be ready to go with something else.
I'm not particularly worried about Tage Thompson's production. Are you?
No, I'm not.
What do you think of what is realistic for Tuck, in your opinion, production-wise? I mean, he did end up leading the team in points with 59.
Right. He did. But it was, you know, but everybody's numbers took a step back last year. And again, that's all power play. You know, they were sneakily very good at 5-on-5 scoring. Like they were a top 10 5-on-5 scoring team, which I think that blows people's minds apart when you tell them that, because they're like, well, these guys didn't score. It's like, well, there was one type of situation they didn't score in, and it happened. It was that way all season. And that was a big part of the offense. You know, you're like, you know, you look at Tage's goal total and you're like, well, that's about 20 goals light. And it's like, well, he scored 22 power play goals 2 years ago. So there's your offense. I don't worry about Tage. I don't really even worry about Tuck, because I think with the way that he played, the way that he and Tage perform together, and I think when you put JJ on the other side of them, I think that's a trio that really works well.
Is that what you're doing?
That
you want JJ?
That's what I mean. Yeah, you put me behind the bench. That's the top line I'm putting together. I do like the idea of Benson.
This is the Sabres live version of you coach, Joe. You coach.
I hope to avoid Lindy telling me that at some point this year. I
hope we're airing it live in the post game, and I hope it's in a lighthearted manner.
Yes. Yes. Not
three win when the power play goes 0-for-6 and you question the power play.
Yeah. He'll hand me the whistle and say, Joe, you go out there and tell him what to do. It's like, all right, well, guess it's on me then. But yeah. I like the way those three played enough that I want to see it start to see. I want to see that line start the season at least.
Okay.
I think you want to see what Benson can do. I think you want to see how Zucker fits in. Because those to me are your top three left wings, right? I think that's pretty easy to say that those are your top three left wings. It's just a question of what order you want to put them in, and you know, how you want to dole out the minutes, and what you think really works well together.
Joe Yerden with us here on Sabres Live to launch into a new week. Marty's back tomorrow. Shannon Goldman's with us at the bottom of the hour as well. And obviously, we're about a month out now from the start of Prospects Challenge, and that really is the ramp up to what'll be a completely different camp based on the shortage of games for the group here, the main group here in North America, before they head overseas to start the season. What I might have been unintentionally angling towards, and your answers may have also steered us this way, is Dylan Cousins the biggest story up front for this team this year?
I think so. I think it's a toss up between him and what Zach Benson does in his second season.
Okay.
Because I think the expectation on Benson is that the offense will catch up to the defensive work. I think that you kind of feel like that's where that's headed with him. You know, I think we did that with Paterka and we did it with Quinn, where, you know, he showed a lot in that first season. You're like, oh, wait till he's got that whole year under his feet and gets used to the play. I think for Cousins, the biggest thing for him is he just has to get out of his own head. Mm-hmm. I think back to the season the home opener against the Rangers, and the Rangers laid out and blocked every shot the Sabres took all night long.
Yeah.
And everybody was frustrated. You know, every guy in blue and gold was just like, I can't believe they play like that. It's opening night. Like, come on, like, take it easy, guys. Let's not play it that way. And I think for Dylan had so many great chances in that game that got blocked, or he was forced to shoot it wide because of the, you know, the defensive presence, all that stuff. I think he ended up like kind of getting into his head a little bit, where he's just like, geez, if it's going to be like this every night, I'm really going to have to fight for it. And that can wear you out. Like that wear you out mentally. Now, he's one of the toughest dudes in that room. He's a very confident, very sure player, but if the puck's not going in, I mean, everybody's got to be feeling it. You know, we saw it with Benson, you know, for the second half of last year, like the goals weren't coming and it was stressing him out. It was definitely that way for Dylan. But I think for Dylan though, you need to get him back to that 30 goal mark. You need to have him in that spot where he's able to produce in that way and give them another wave of attack so that it's not all falling on Tage's shoulders. It's not all falling on Tuck's shoulders to score every possible goal for them, because they're going to need it. They're going to need as much offense as they can get. And if you got two lines that can come out and bury you, that makes everything so much easier. And Dylan's the key to doing that.
Yeah. And I've kind of been a long believer here of you kind of need three lines to really bury opponents. So if you're amiss on the second, which I don't think they will be, I think they'll be fine on the second, but I often just sit here and maybe it's best served to you know, present this kind of statistical game, if you will, maybe when we get closer to the season. But like, you know, you could sit here and say the Sabres will make the playoffs if blank happens, right? Like whether it's Tage 40 or Dylan 30 or whatever. Honestly, like, and he's young enough and there's certainly opportunity here in his first year as a Saber. I don't want to say they'll make the playoffs if, but my concerns will be alleviated if Ryan McLeod can get 40 points. Because he's not that far away from it, but to me, what that means is you're getting then production from the other wingers, who we still have pretty high hopes for. You've already mentioned Benson. Like, what if somebody, even Zucker, right? Like, some look at Zucker automatically as a third line guy. Well, okay. If McLeod's getting 40 points, there's a good chance that both his wingers are getting 20 goals. And I need that from my third line.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. Having a third, it's not like how it was in the 80s where it's like, okay, we got two lines that go and score, then two lines that go out and hit everybody in the mouth. It's not like that. If you've got a deep enough team, all four lines are able to score, just that that fourth line is going to make it really miserable for you. And then the third line is just going to be a pain in the butt because they're playing with a means to them where they're going to suffocate you defensively and use that to create offense. I think
speed first, obviously.
Yes. Oh yeah. And with McLeod.
And so let's see a team that scores on odd man rushes, right? Like I get it. They're probably not going to shoot 17% like the Ovechkins of the world, but you know, they can. I really think, like you just phrased it, I mean, some teams are constructed more top six, bottom six, but I am definitely give me a top nine and we'll see what happens production wise, and especially because you have guys like Benson, and we haven't even talked about whether you think anybody can actually crack through this year from Rochester.
Yeah, it's kind of wild that we're not even talking about Gary Kulik or Isaac Rosén, like at all. Because I think if Don Granato was still here, I think that would be the forefront of the discussion, because you'd be saying like, right, it's about time. Like, I mean, you could still be saying that about Kulik. He's got, you know, what, 50 plus goals in two seasons in the AHL.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just turning 20.
Yeah.
I mean, by all accounts, this year should be his first year in the AHL. Instead, he's already a wily veteran in that league, and it's just a matter of time. And I was going back and listening to what Vinny Prospel was telling us back in July about Kulik, and it echoes what Seth had been saying in Rochester all year about him: consistency, you know, and picking up all the good habits and doing all the things, because everything else that he's got going for him is there offensively. Like it's all there. but he has to not be a liability at the other end of the ice. And if he can pick up, you know, kind of pick up his socks in the defensive end and do a lot of things and be kind of annoying on the forecheck or doing whatever, that's a huge, that changes. I think that changes the perspective of what you're looking at in camp. I think we're not really talking about it because I don't, maybe it's because we're thinking back to old Lindy, you know, the first time around Lindy, where asking him to incorporate young guys into the lineup where he's got, you know, veteran. I mean, these guys are young, but they're veterans now, but you've got a pretty healthy number of veterans that are NHL, you know, veteran at this point that maybe you don't want to be incorporating another, you know, 18, 19, 20 year old into the lineup, getting them used to the NHL, the rigors and the whole thing, even though everybody in that room has done it over the last, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, they're all used to it. They can help guide the way, but I mean, he's still a coach and he's got to decide on the minutes and everything else. And the first time that, you know, if Kulik does make the team out of camp and the first game that he plays less than 10 minutes, everybody's going to be screaming from the top of the radio towers and the top of the hills here. Oh no, it's just like Grigorenko all over again. Get him out of, like, stop this. Don't do that. But that's a more much more pessimistic.
Yeah, thanks for the Monday Grigo reference. Wow. Where do we go from here now? Okay. You did earlier this summer, write about six big names that, you know, trades that should happen, the Marner, Zegras, Natchez, Trouba, Ehlers, and Buchnevich's of the world. We obviously know that Pavel is not going anywhere with a long-term deal in St. Louis. Natchez is under wraps for 2 years in Carolina. I don't know if anybody feels like he's going to see the entire two, but whatever. Did you think that any of these names were ever going to land in Buffalo? And what do you think is the outlook for any of those six names or others that that you projected upon probably a couple of months ago now?
Well, if there was a guy, well, I don't know about absolutely landing in Buffalo, but if there was a guy that I had circled that, like, if they were going to make a bold trade this summer, that the guy that I wanted them to push for was Buchnevich. Mm-hmm. That to me, and I think Lance Lisowski and I talked about it on our podcast. If there's a guy that you just want to say, like, forget it, we're just going to go in and we're going to do this. We need the big score. We got to replace Skinner. We got to do all this. Let's just go for broke and get somebody. Buchnevich was the guy to do that with, in my mind. I know there was some talk about Natchez. I know some of that sourcing seemed to be pretty good, pretty solid, but part of me doesn't believe it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think especially the way that turned out, where, you know, Natchez says he didn't want to sign long term in Buffalo. Whatever, man. Like, money talks. You know, if somebody comes to you with a big enough contract, you'll say, like, hey, you know what? I think I could live there. I just didn't really see Natchez as the right fit, because I still think there's kind of the way the whole thing is going there in Carolina is very. It doesn't. I don't know. It's not fishy, but it just. Part of it just doesn't sit right with me, where I'm just kind of like, I don't know, this guy had a 70-point season a year ago or 2 years ago. And, you know, part of that was because Svechnikov missed half the season. And, you know, the minutes were there. He was getting a lot more opportunities. But like, that had established him. You know, this is a guy that they've been kind of slow playing through their system and getting him up to speed and getting him ready. And it was like, oh, he's arrived. And then this past season, it wasn't the same. You know, the points came down, his usage was a little different. He wasn't quite getting the same, you know, premier looks as he was. You know, I think Seth Jarvis had a lot to do with that, honestly. But I just, something about it seemed like, I don't know, this guy, there's a team that's going to come with an offer for him, I think, within the next 2 years. And he's going to end up going there. You know, and I kind of wrote about that a little bit today. Like, he's a prime candidate for a change of scenery deal, because it's just, everything just seems a little bit off. I mean, I think everything in Carolina seems a little bit off. I think they just do things a lot differently there. But
they do, yeah.
But I think with Natchez, it's just the way the whole situation played out with the contract, and, you know, he opted for arbitration, and all the talk was he was going to get traded. They're not even going to get to sign him. Somebody else will do it. And then, nope. No trade happened. He got signed for 2 years, which walks him to free agency. And then it's like, Yeah, he's the clock's ticking for when he gets moved.
Okay, does Marner get dealt this year? We'll rapid fire through these.
I don't think he does. I think it's way more fun if he does, but I don't think he does. I think Toronto's going to ride that out the whole way, and if it doesn't work, then we'll be doing it again next summer.
Fun left on when you mentioned Grigorenko 4 minutes ago. So, Zegras, is he going to move on?
Yeah, I think there's enough teams there that could use a player of his variety to jump in there. You know, the Carolina could, Montreal could, Boston could, maybe Buffalo could, maybe. Like, I think that's way more of a long shot, but I mean, I don't know. Buffalo's got all the prospects in the world to make any trade they want to make if they want to. So,
In that case, who's the next prospect to be traded by the Sabres?
Oh no! See, now you're just trying to get me yelled at when camp opens up on day one. But if you want a real answer,
it's a real question in the sense of I'm asking you. Maybe I'm asking it this way. Mm-hmm. Who do you think is the most valuable Sabres prospect, either to them or as a chip to get better?
I think everybody would ask for Benson, but Buffalo would not give up Benson. I also don't know that after a full year of the NHL, he's a prospect anymore. I tend to say like, no, nah, he's established. He's good.
So go to Wahlberg, go to Hellenius, go to Kulik, Rosanne, Oslin. Like, who do you see? Johnson? You
know, I think Rosane's your most readily available guy now because he could jump into the NHL right now, with the right team. Mm-hmm. But I think Oslin, I think Noah Oslin's is the guy that's probably got the most heft to him. I mean, you know, Hellenius does, but again, they're not trading him. Mm-hmm. The Sabres drafting Hellenius made it so that guys like Oslin suddenly become a guy that you could trade and you don't. Like, you feel bad about it, but you suddenly don't feel as bad about it because you're like, well, we already got a guy who's going to play center and do things for us. And who knows? Maybe he makes the team out of camp. I don't know. I know.
It's wild to think of, but we shouldn't be closing any doors on anyone based on what is opportunity for all. Less than a minute to go. Obviously, goaltender, not top of mind because Marty's not on today, but it's super, super, super important. What is this season going to look like for Levi? Full-time Sabre or is he Rochester?
I think it's going to be, I think it honestly depends on what his preseason looks like.
Okay.
Because if he struggles, I don't think they would have any qualms about having him start the year at Rochester and then figure it out from there. Mm-hmm. Because I don't worry about waiving Reimer if they have to do it. Detroit waived him last year. Nobody picked him up. Mm-hmm. I know he's cheap, but like, I don't see that happening unless somebody's desperate, which I mean, that happens.
There's always six to 10 guys like that available every October. Right. So it really matters not. I'll just do respect to every goaltender that falls into that category. It's just, it is what it is.
Yeah. But I think it's going to end up working out that it's going to be Luukkonen with Levi, which that's, I mean, it's interesting. It's fun, but I don't know if that's too much in one room for the guy that just signed for 5 years and you want to kind of clear the decks for him to be your number one for at least right now. And I don't know. It's a little, I don't know. It's fascinating because the door's wide open for whoever stops pucks. Cause I think Lindy's had enough goaltending problems already going back to his days in Dallas, going back to Jersey. He's whoever's stopping the most pucks is the guy that's going to play. But, but I mean, he said at his opening press conference, UPL's his guy. So, it's Luukkonen's net, but I think if Levi's there, that makes it really interesting.
Yeah. I think you've left us with a lot to chew on as far as that, and definitely a return visit. In the meantime, where can people find your work right now and what you're working on next?
Hey, you can find me at Bleacher Report. Lots of hockey stuff there. We're keeping the wheels greased and moving there. NotedHockey.com. You can find a lot more Sabres writing there. Maintenance Day podcast with Lance Lisowski. We're taking our summers.
Has married life changed, Lance?
I don't know. I haven't seen him since the wedding, really. So
there you go.
I think he's doing fine. but yeah, so we got all that going, and then, you know, whatever social medias you're using, I'm probably there someplace hawking my wares.
Okay. We will definitely reconvene in a quicker manner than last time. Thank you as always, and enjoy the rest of your week.
Hey, you got it, Duffer. Thanks for having me.
There's Joe Yerden. We will take a quick time out, come back with Shayna Goldman, and obviously a little more on the Sabres side when we come back on Sabres Live.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
They say it takes a village. In this case, it's a group, like of 10 or more. We want to see you at KeyBank Center. 10 or more tickets for discounted rates. Gain access to exclusive experiences, which is perfect for youth sports, professional networking, and any other large group experience. All you got to do, go to sabres.com/groups. All right, Shayna Goldman, people are going to wonder what is up with your schedule, because it's I'm the beneficiary all the time, whether it's Wednesdays, Thursdays, or Fridays. And here you are, we think, unconfirmed, on a Monday. Yeah,
we're How here. Are you? We're here. We're connected. Thank you, Internet, for working. You know, it's summer. It's Sabres Live on the Fly, first of all, if I'm on here.
Yes,
so we need to keep it going. We never know what. And it's summer. It's a mystery, you know, like it's the dog days of summer. So how do you excite everybody? You surprise people on what day of the week we're going to do this.
Care to indulge the audience in your dogs?
I mean, they are having their best summer life. So, like, come on.
How many? Three?
Cone. We got three dogs and sometimes a fourth when my sister brings her dog home, who's Mika's actual sister. And they are vibing, living their best life, swimming every day, sleeping on the concrete, taking in the sun, just like loving every second of summer. So once it gets cold, they're going to be a little bit miserable.
I sense that even in their misery, they are still incredibly helpful to every day for you.
Oh my God, they're the best. They love writing. They love sitting at my laptop. Big fans of that. slamming on the keys so they can jump over the computer.
We haven't, they haven't, quote unquote, kind of violated the studio area in a while. We used to see this a lot more regularly with things toppling in the background.
Oh my God. Miko was a terror when I first got her. She would be like chewing through my headphones. Remember the scrunchy trees she was knocking down? So we made it completely dog safe. Now she just sleeps on the couch next to me. She's here almost every episode silently. The other dogs can't be bothered, but she tends to be here. You just don't even know it. That's how she's so grown up at 1 year old.
So we would prefer in NHL terms not to let sleeping dogs lie because we want we want activity. But we're still begging for it here as we hit the midway point of August in the sense of some of the big names. We just had Joe Yurden on talking about ones that he had written about a while back. But and this is not to, you know, kind of belabor the same story over and over, but it's a pretty long list of our significant RFAs that still don't have their deals. We don't really live in a world where we see many holdouts anymore, any major delays to start a season, but do any of these current RFAs pique your interest as far as, is something amiss here?
I don't know if it's is something amiss, but I'm really curious about the Red Wings situation, right? Because you look at their offseason, I think we're all saying, what are they going to gear up to do? And they start things off by trading Jake Walman for nothing. And you're like, okay, that's a choice right there. But maybe they're clearing cap space to do something big in free agency, which maybe would limit their RFAs. Mm-hmm. Free agency kind of underwhelmed. They were one of the losers of day one. You go, okay, so the Raymond and Sider extensions, they're going to be huge, right? They're just going to go long-term with both. Because if they went long-term with both, they're not going to spend big elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Hasn't happened yet. So it's really interesting to see that neither one signed yet. Because if I'm the Red Wings, I am handing Lucas Raymond everything this year because we saw that breakout kind of starting at the end of the year and that consistency that I think he's going to be a superstar soon. With Sider, you have a different case because of his usage and how he's dragged down by some of the toughest usage in the league. But do you bet on that now? The fact that neither one's done yet, I'm going, okay, so what are they waiting for? Because it seems like they position themselves to have the money to just hand both of them big checks, right?
Mm-hmm. The math seems to equate to easy deals for both based on cap space remaining. These are comps, clearly, to what the Sabres have done. I mean, ultimately, Dahlin had a bridge, right, before he vaults up to the level that he's at now of $11 million. But they've also done term and better dollar cap hit with Thompson and Cousins, right? So are you sensing now that it will be two different contracts for Sider and Raymond when it comes to length of deals?
Yeah, so Thompson, Cousins, Power, they all kind of go into this trend we've seen the last couple of years. So guys like Nick Suzuki and Jake Sanderson and Stützle, where they get these huge contracts right off the bat off their entry-level deals, which they're bigger bets because you have less NHL experience to bank off of and, you know what they can or can't do. But you're betting on their prime years at maximum salary, which can work out for everyone. And it's great for the player, right, to have that massive raise. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing that trend rise. And I think we're going to see that with Raymond. But with Sider, it really is interesting because it is similar to Dahlin. Here's someone with all the pedigree in the world. And we keep hearing he's going to break through, he's going to break through, and it doesn't happen. It could be because of usage. And in Detroit, they didn't have other options to take on those minutes. And it's kind of similar in Buffalo, right? Nobody could play the workload that Dahlin could. And we saw it hamper his offense in the early years. And we didn't see him put together that unreal season that we expected for some time. But you see how that cost Buffalo with that third contract, because when he hit his stride, you knew he was reasonably going to get a big raise, and he did. And it's not that it's a bad raise to have now, but it's just something to keep in mind. So do you risk that with Sider? If, say, he finds that offense over the next 2 years, is he going to get that big jump like Dahlin just did? Or do you go the power route or, you know, Thompson and Cousins and just go big now and hope that it's going to be cost effective sooner than later?
Do you think the Red Wings goaltending situation will play out as they hope? They're going to start the year with three, by the sounds of it, as far as the competition through preseason. And who knows, maybe it starts the year with three again, like they ran with last year. But, you know, when you look at the individuals involved, like, Talbot had some good numbers again last year, so it may not be as high risk as some think. Like Alex Lyon obviously did wonders for them. That's it worked out at a bargain price. Ville Husso obviously has shown he can based on the contract Detroit gave him. But we've talked about it a lot with what Buffalo's goaltending situation looks like at the moment. Ottawa obviously made the biggest splash getting Linus Ullmark from Boston. And here's Detroit. Like, it's just this Detroit, Buffalo, Ottawa thing that we keep talking about because all three of them need to take that huge step, right?
Right. And it feels like goaltending is a big part of it for Detroit because the defense didn't get much better. And that's what's held them back. And it's like, can the goaltending withstand that? Now Ottawa made their move. Now we know Buffalo has more certainty between Luukkonen and whenever Levi's ready to jump up too. Like, those are really good options to have. And they did the three goalie thing and it didn't last. And Detroit's going to run that to open the year. And they're not the only team that might have a three goalie system to start the season. But do you really want that? You know, stay in the Atlantic. You saw it with Montreal. Primo and Montembeault did so much better when they didn't have Allen to share the net with because it totally changes things, how you practice everything. The vibes are different with three goalies. Mm-hmm. And then you look at these specific three goalies and each one has a question mark because we know Alex Lyon can be the guy and be a miracle worker when a team needs it. He was that for Detroit at sometimes. He was that for Florida, but he hit his wall last year. Mm-hmm. Husso, there is the injury issue. And then Talbot's so intriguing because you go back to when he was first a starter. And no one handled chaos as well as Talbot at one point. You know, we look at Edmonton's defense and how well he did behind that. Mm-hmm. But then he went to Minnesota and had a great defense and struggled. Then he went to LA and that great defense gave him that resurgence last year. When the defense fell apart, so did his game. So now you say, at this point in his career, can he still handle the chaos that Detroit probably is going to throw his way? Or is he going to tighten up and he'll be what they need just in a reduced capacity now that you have three to rotate through? Like, it's such an interesting problem to have because they did look at goalie upgrades and they said if they were going to do it, it wouldn't have been a short-term option. They weren't spending big on a short-term option. So here they spent low and now they can kind of figure it out, which isn't bad to do. But are you going to be that front runner of the Atlantic Division, the three little disruptors we're all waiting for? Because it seems like the other two now have that bump when last year Detroit felt like the front runner going into the season.
Should we be thinking there's any more goalie movement this offseason? I don't think so.
Want some, but like, come on, we all
But I'm just like almost kind of just thinking out loud here, which is obviously what we do, but usually there's some preparation behind it. No, I don't, there's like you say, there's a couple of these three goalie situations. I mean, I guess I don't know how bold it would be, but like if Minnesota makes the Gustafson deal. You know, like, does somebody really want Gustafson right now? Obviously, we still need Swayman's contract to, you know, kind of, I wouldn't say set the marketplace, but establish him again within it, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of like last year when we were looking at him and Gustafson and who was in
Samsonov.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up Minnesota. It's what I'm, this is like my current story that I'm working on is what Minnesota is going to do because it's very rare to have a goalie in their 40s, which they're going to have in Fleury. It's very rare to have a goalie in their young, early 20s, which they're going to have in Wallstedt. Mm-hmm. And then it's very rare to run a three goalie system and have that successful, which is what they're aiming to do. And you have to question it right now. Is that the move for them? Because each way you cut it, you move him, your goaltending crease has a ton of risk still. So do you really want to do that? They are definitely one of the more interesting ones. I think there should be a market for Gustafson. His problem is a track record, right? We know he doesn't have it. But when we were talking earlier, what was it? To start free agency, Marty and I each had our like destination list. And I think either one or both of us had him going to Calgary, making sense to be the Markstrom replacement to balance out someone like Wolf. But then if you have Vladar at the ready too, like you could have a three goalie system once again in Calgary, which you don't need. So it's a little bit complicated and it feels like it's a little late. I almost wonder if Minnesota is just going to start with the three goalies and then figure out what to do because it's not as big of a market as it should be now.
Of course, Minnesota popped up last week in the Line A talk. And of course, it wasn't so much like, yeah, obviously they'd be interested. It was like, how would they ever make it work? Because they're still stuck in cap hell this year. Like, do you see a logical path for them to be able to complete something like that?
I think that a creative general manager could.
Okay.
And one who is very financially responsible. And I don't find that to be Bill Guerin because I think sometimes he puts up these big contracts to aging stars and aging, I don't even want to say stars, secondary players. And that kind of hampers everything he can do for the next, you know, 3 years. And I feel like that's the situation he's in, the Foligno extension and even the Hartman one. Like, you're looking at it going, why? Why did you hand out this money? Even now Middleton, which is a big risk because we see how his game looks without Spurgeon. You know, do you want to pony up for someone who needs that partner? So to clear cap space for him is going to be really tricky because no movement clause, no trade clauses, and all the deals he hands out, who's going to want to take them? Do I think that they should try to pursue it? Yes, absolutely. If you can get an offensive player like Line A, that's what they need. I don't care about the risk in his game. They have the defensive certainty to balance it out. Like, absolutely go for that, right? But can they? I don't know. There's a couple GMs I feel like we would look at and go, they're going to maneuver their way out of this, and I don't know if he's one of them.
I asked Joe Yerden in the first segment, and I know you love talking Maple Leafs and Mitch Marner. do you think that Marner plays out the year in Toronto?
That's going to be so interesting because I feel like in any other year, I would say yes. But I do wonder if Brad Tree Living's past haunts him at all. It has to, right? It's a little bit different than Nylander because with Nylander, it was the same agent that Johnny Gaudreau had. So that was what kept coming up. Like, does he want to go through this again? I think it was with like Lewis Gross. Like, do you want to do this again with the same agent and potentially have the same result, which could, you know, really hurt your team? And I feel like here I would say no. Do they go past the deadline without an extension in place? But at this point, you have to wonder, like, do they just play it out until then? But then again, you know the risk of trading a star at the deadline. You generally don't come back with as much. But it's tough to say because in the offseason, we don't have examples of a ton of them, of players like Marner getting moved and what the haul could look like. But it does feel like at this point, if someone was going to do that, it would probably be before they dedicate money to other players in free agency. Like, if you're taking on $10.9 million in cap space, you better have not moved, you know, added salary. And, and you're like, okay, so now what?
Shana Goldman from The Athletic, last question. Marty is not here. It's his birthday week. You had a great idea of what we should try to present to Marty on his birthday this week.
Okay. I'm presenting something that he, I know, is in favor of. I would like the league, in honor of him, to try rotating goalies more in games. That if you allow three bad goals and you get the hook, I want it that you get 10 minutes to settle down and get thrown right back in there. I would like to see more goalie movement. I want to see goalies pulled on the power play and have an extra skater come out and just try these radical ideas that I know he would go for. But I really do want to see it. Like, I think he was saying in like youth hockey, you see it all the time. Like, a goalie allows a bunch of goals and they'll put him on the bench and let him settle in. And then they'll put him back in when he's ready to go. I would like to see that happen a little bit more often. Who's to say a goalie can't, you know, bounce back if they get 10 minutes to just, you know, calm themselves after allowing a bunch of goals against?
I feel like Mike Keenan was trying to do that in the 80s.
Yeah, he was just a little harsh in his delivery.
I'm not sure he ever got to the point where the goalie could settle down and regather himself.
We need a goalie whisperer to handle this. That's the thing. I think goalies need to handle goalies. That if they're going to get the hook, the goalie coach has got to come out and like talk them down or bring them to the locker room and be like, okay, let's go. Yeah. Let's recenter yourself and then go.
Amazing. And we have to go too. Thank you for joining us on a Monday. We'll see you hopefully soon. Shana Goldman.
Thanks for having me.
From The Athletic. Back after this on Sabres Live.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Mike's hat.
All right, Marty's back tomorrow with a very late recap in the form of an Olympic minute. But how about yesterday? If you were watching sports, Matt Kuchar just packed it in on the 18th, too dark, and came back this morning. And Jim Nantz was right. They did not have coverage of it this morning when Kuchar finished the tournament and got his par. So the Wyndham is done, as are we for the day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.